DW Africa Link.
On that very day, even though I was a proficient swimmer, I found myself in a terrifying struggle to escape the water. I feared it was the end. The situation was dire. But by the grace of God, my companions and I, all excellent swimmers, were spared. The incident left a profound mark on me, a constant reminder to pray that such a tragedy never befalls anyone else. The sudden shift from a normal, healthy life to a life and death struggle is a harrowing experience. It's as if you can see your own mortality. A boat mishap is a nightmare. Regrettably, we did not receive any assistance from the government. They advised us to use life jackets and vests, which we now understand are crucial. However, the costs are high. Even if the government were to provide them as relief, they often do not reach us. If we had access to these, we could avoid the horrors of boat mishaps.
Voices from those who survived. It's becoming more and more dangerous to travel by boat in Nigeria. The country's waterways are turning into death traps, killing hundreds of people every year. In July 2025, a waterway disaster in Niger State killed at least 25 people. Then a few weeks later in Sokoto, another capsizing left 10 dead and more than 40 missing. These are not just numbers, they are human lives lost. So why do these tragedies keep happening? And what will it take to make river travel safe? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Boats have become an essential means of transport, especially for communities by rivers and creeks. But they've also become deadly. Between January and August 2025 alone, more than 90 people lost their lives in boat accidents across Nigeria. To discuss efforts to curb these tragedies, Nigeria recently inaugurated a special committee chaired by the Managing Director of the National Inland Waterways Authority, or NIWA. The goal is to propose reforms on boat operations and safety enforcement. The government insists on stronger rules and better training, but families and communities want faster action. Let's get more from Captain Caleb Danladi, a seasoned maritime expert and port researcher with extensive experience in maritime safety, logistics, and port operations. I also have seasoned journalist and DW correspondent Jamiu Abiodun, who's been documenting the rising tide of tragedies on Nigeria's waterways. Welcome, both of you, to Africa Link. Caleb, Nigeria's waterways should be an affordable alternative to clogged roads, but it's fast becoming an even dangerous option. What's going on?
Boat transportation is a lifeline for millions of people in riverine area, especially coastal communities worldwide. This includes Nigeria and other countries. So, but it's an affordable means of transportation. It's the cheapest and economic means of transportation where vehicles cannot get to. So these people that live in the coastal area rely solely on boat transportation. However, recently we have experienced a number of tragedies that has been reoccurring that have caused loss of lives, have caused loss of revenue, has caused damage to properties. And before we dive into this, we need to find out the root cause of these incidents. Why are these incidents occurring? As you are aware, more than 90% of accidents that have occurred, both in air crashes, road crashes, and maritime transport, are attributed to human error. So one of the root cause of this boat tragedy are attributed to human error. Let's look at human errors. In what aspect? One aspect has to do with overloading of boats. So one of the leading causes of maritime accidents is overloading of boats. Operators tend to carry more passengers and more cargo beyond the safe load limit of the boat in order to maximize profit. And there's a need for them to understand the difference between a passenger boat and a boat that is used to carry goods. See, we have seen operators carrying high number of passengers and high number of goods, often leading to overloading. And this overloading can result in capsizing of boat, especially the wooden boat, and it can also lead to sinking of boats. And another aspect we have looked into is about lack of safety gear. So many boats operate without sufficient life jackets. And as we are aware, life jacket is used to save life when the boat capsized. They also don't have sufficient life boats or first aid kits. So even though the life jackets are provided, some people are adamant to wear a life jacket. They refuse to wear a life jacket because it's not comfortable, and they underestimate the risks. Some of the operators don't have the basic knowledge of navigation rules, and also they don't have the basic knowledge of weather. Poor judgment of weather is also a root cause of most of this boat incident today. You have to look at the integrity of the hull, the integrity of the boat itself. Using wooden boat is not ideal. The best sort of boats you can use might be an aluminium or a fiber boat. And another crucial issue is boat operators sailing their boats at night, at odd hours in the night.
Right. Wow. That was a crash course. Why is this being allowed to happen, that the right things are not being enforced to prevent future accidents? Are we saying authorities that are supposed to be checking these are not doing their job well, or is there a lack of personnel to be checking all of these? Are people even educated enough to know that this and this is the right or not thing to do?
Okay, thank you for your question. First of all, I must say that the government has shown a lot of political will when it comes to addressing the issue of boat mishaps in the country. The government has really shown a lot of political will. The government has done a lot. If you look at recently, there have been a report about the root causes of incident, and the government has gone to distribute life jackets for these people to be able to prevent death when an incident occurred.
Why did it have to take hundreds of people dying every year for the government or authorities to realize that, hey, people need life jackets on boats because it could capsize and people will die?
Well, the government have been doing a lot before now. It's not just now that they have been doing a lot from inception, like mandatory training of boat operators. If you look at even some states also have training centers for boat operators. So on the government part, they have done a lot, you know, to prevent this these accidents from happening. Awareness has been raised about the dangers of overloading speed, but there have been programs that have been raised. But these people, some of them can decide to travel at night because they believe they will go to different checkpoints. They are in the rural community area. They know the areas where they can be able to use this their boat, wooden boat, and travel possibly at night. You know, they decide to break the rules. When the government say, okay, you should not travel during the hours of darkness, and you decide to travel during the hours of darkness and at illegal points, you know, you are breaking the rules. So when it comes to safety and enforcement, the government has done more, and I believe they are still doing more to prevent this reoccurrence from happening.
Right. There's obviously more room for improvement. I don't think we want to take any of the blame away from the government. How is the government enforcing life jackets? Because shouldn't it be the number one requirement that if you don't put on your life jacket, anyone on the boat without a life jacket, then the boat cannot move? How is it being enforced?
I will be able to explain to you that there's an enforcement law that's in place. Every boat over there must have a life jacket.
Thank you, Captain. I'm going to come to you in a bit. But Abiodun, you've been listening to all that's been talked about so far. Also, you've been speaking to the communities that have been losing lives. What are people there telling you about the situation on the ground?
Thank you. One particular thing that we need to understand is that boats, you know, waterway transportation is very, very peculiar in riverine area. And some of these people have been using their boats way before transportation, way before other type of transportations. And most of them use riverine you know, waterways because there are no access roads. There are no port, I mean, access road to their community. So in these communities, some of the people, a lot of them knows the danger very well. Almost every family can mention, you know, someone they lost to the river, and they keep traveling there anyway because it is the only way accessible. Because, I mean, there is no accessible road to these communities. But most of the time, it's also not their fault that they had to go through this this route. It's mostly because there is no infrastructure, other means of transportation for them to go. For instance, if you have to travel to some communities by road, probably when they are going to the market, it would take, if they are to travel by road, it would take at least like 1 hour, 1 hour, 30 minutes to get to this point. But if they use the waterway, they could go there in 30 minutes, 20 minutes. So most of these people don't really have any other choice than to use the road. And most of the accidents happen when the water is rough. You get during the rainy season when there is a rise in water level and the current gets really strong. So, or probably at night when the operator would definitely not see the way clearly. So most of the times, these are most of the times that they move. So, and in another instance that we have seen, many of the boats that they use in rural communities are usually wooden boats, probably with weak engine.
Just to be clear, you're saying that these community members understand the challenges of using the boat, and some understand that going without a life vest is basically a death sentence, and they still go anyway.
It is not a case of I know the challenges and I'm going to go ahead with it anyway. It is because in these rural communities, the life jacket that are available are not even enough to cover the people. And some of the life jackets that are available are of fairly poor qualities in these rural communities. I'm more particular about rural communities because these are where the accidents are much more pronounced. So most life jackets in these communities are of poor qualities. Some of them don't feel comfortable wearing them. I mean, they will say that it is too hot, and they'll probably, even when they wear it at the points of at the jetty, some of them feel so comfortable that they have to put it off mid-water. So white passengers market often also run late most of the times, when for many of them it is not a matter of whether they want to wear these jackets or they understand the risk. It is the fact that some of the jackets that are available are poor quality, are not enough to cover them. In rural communities, there are no even life jackets to talk about in the first place.
So what role do local leaders or boat unions play in either promoting or undermining safety, Abiodun?
It depends on the location and the place. In some towns, just like Igbo Koda in Ondo State, which is in a very semi-urban area, there are boat unions actually trying to keep things in order. They pick who travels or who drives the boat, and control fears, and sometimes stop choose when the weather is a little bit strong or looks really bad. So people listen to them. But in other places like rural communities, in places like Goronyo, Wara, in Kebbi, or Shagari in Sokoto, there are unions like that actually look after the safety of these boats. Some communities members just know that they have just like anyone could get a car or a vehicle to go out anytime they want. Some community members just have boats like that they take out and travel by it whenever they want to travel. So, but for those that actually use it for commercial purpose, it's usually about the money, about the profit. So as long as boat owners pays their dues, no one asks if the boat is really safe or overloaded. So community leaders like chiefs usually step in after accidents when the deed must have been done, to calm people down, talk to them, just like the one that happened in Goronyo. Communities that have to gather to actually commiserate with the people. And within the few minutes that the few days that this accident happened, most of the people are usually very uptight about safety protocols, about all of these things. But once the situation gets dry, it's taking a while, they go back to not adhering to safety measures and protocol. But most of the times, government also take jackets to some estate to this area. But just like I said, some of these jackets are usually of poor quality, or people feel so comfortable and too hot, especially looking at the situation in the north where this particular issue happened. It's always very hot. Imagine wearing also a life jacket in a very hot weather. So most of them feel so comfortable wearing these things. But when nothing is done and follow-up is not done, when these accidents happen, the situation, people quickly forget and we turn back to having an accident again.
Right. Thank you, Abiodun. Captain, let me come to you. What immediate policy changes could reduce the frequency of these accidents? Because we're talking about hundreds of people losing their lives every year.
Okay, that's a very, very important question. Policies are needed. We need to implement policies. We need to implement strategies to prevent these incidents from occurring. And one of them is has to do with mandatory boat registration and annual inspection. So all the boats must be registered. There must be registration. Every boat that departs from one destination to the other must have a particular QR code where you can be able to easily check and track, hey, the boat is registered and the boat is certified. The other issue is about phasing out of the old wooden boat. That is possible, but it's not going to happen in a day because of the cost implication. But there are a lot of strategies that can be put in place. For instance, now you can exchange the old boat for a new boat, or they'll ask you, okay, bring your old boat for some sort of incentives, or we can also provide you with a sort of soft loan to acquire new aluminium or fiber boats, boats that are equipped. So phasing out the old boat is crucial. Another aspect has to do with strict life jacket enforcement for all passengers. And if you are not wearing it, you might be subject to fine. So it's very, very important for that. Only during daylight and only during safe weather period. It's very, very important for us to have that policy. Another one, there must be heavy penalties for overloading an unlicensed boat operator. When you have overloaded your boat, you must be penalized. They must penalize you. When you are an unlicensed boat operator, you must be arrested and prosecuted. It's very, very important. And another issue is when it comes to policies, I know the world is evolving now. Is moving towards the area of technological advancement, artificial intelligence. So we must be also be able to use technology. Technology will be a game changer for them. For instance, now boats that are not fitted with GPS must be fitted with GPS to monitor the movement of this boat. The second thing have to do with weather alerting system so that it can warn operators about sudden change in weather. I know we have different weather stations in Nigeria, but the other thing they need to do is maybe a simple SMS to be sending SMS to them. It's very important. The other one is have to do with the issue of smartphones app. We must have smartphones app to monitor weather, like I said. Then the last thing is about raising awareness. We have to go to these communities and raise awareness. I know the government have done a lot and organizations have been raising awareness. When an accident happened and awareness is being raised, you look at the safety compliance is high. So it's very, very important. So these policies are required for immediate change to reduce accidents in our waterways.
So have you done, in your experience, as you constantly report on these incidents or accidents, is there a sense that the people in these communities are willing to have a change in behavior, you know, in a way to prevent more deaths? Is there that appetite you sense?
Yes, there is always, there's constant appetite for change, especially when the accidents just happened. But what we should also understand is that the accidents keep happening because of underinvestment in our waterways. If in our waterways and other infrastructure, if there are affordable roads, if there are good roads, people would rather want to travel by roads when they know that the weather is bad, rather than going through the waterways when the water is bad. When the weather is bad. So for a lot of them, there is a need for change of behaviors. There is most of them are willing to change, but that happens immediately. That changes immediately. After a few weeks after the incident. So a lot of them want to change, but the environments do not actually friendly for them to actually effectively affect that behavioral change. So a lot of them want to change. Just like the woman we talked to this weekend, she definitely wants that it's not safe. She agreed with us that it's not safe to travel by water when the weather is bad, without safety gears, when it is overloaded. But at the same time, these are just what they want to say. They know in their mind that this is what is right. But at the same time, years of underinvestment in waterways, you know, has left them no choice than to continue traveling on this way when it is not safe. So we cannot entirely blame them. It is because of underinvestment. And we need to go a long way to actually change this behavior, raise awareness about safety measures for them to actually agree that this is also a way to go, and also provide alternative where they can actually go by road when the weather is bad.
Captain, I have a feeling you have a few words to wrap this up. What will be your final words, Captain?
Okay, my final word is to reduce boat accident. It has to begin with changing behavior. And changing behavior have to do with prioritizing safety over speeds. When you prioritize safety, it's very, very important. We also have to look at enforcing consistent training and maintenance standard. It's very, very crucial. And we also have to foster a culture of accountability on our waterways. We must also be committed to build safe waterways that will prevent accidents. And in my final word, I believe preventing boat accidents is not just about regulations. It's about investment in lives. It's about livelihood in our maritime economy. And also we have to invest in safety. We have to invest in training. We have also to invest in equipment. And more importantly, changing the mindset of people, changing the behavior. I think with this, we are going to create a safer waterways that is going to generate revenue, is going to prevent lives, and is going to prevent accidents.
Thank you very much, both of you, for contributing to this discussion. I have learned a lot. And the hope is that when all these measures are put in place, whether it's about more policies from the government or, an appetite to change behavior from the communities that unfortunately lose hundreds of lives every year, the hope is that this will contribute to saving lives. Captain Caleb Donladi, seasoned maritime expert and port researcher, thank you very much for your time. Also, DW correspondent Jamiu Abiodun in Nigeria. Thank you.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Boat accidents are more than just accidents. They are a reflection of systemic neglect. Every drowning, every capsizing marks a failure in regulation, enforcement, and awareness. For instance, the lack of regular safety inspections, inadequate training for boat operators, and poor enforcement of safety regulations are all contributing factors. Victims' families say they feel abandoned. Regulation is inconsistent, and penalties are too light to deter negligence. The Nigerian Red Cross is deeply concerned about the issue of boat accidents, particularly in areas where government efforts have fallen short. Benson Agburo, the director of disaster management at the Nigeria Red Cross Society, explains that the organization often intervenes to support initiatives aimed at reducing such accidents.
We in the Nigeria Red Cross have been working with other stakeholders to see how we can reduce the mortality from boat mishaps in Nigeria. Our branches in Lagos, Ondo, Niger, River, Taraba, Benue, Kwara, Kebbi, Bauchi, Sokoto, Adamawa, Nasarawa, Cross River, Akwa Ibom, Bayelsa, Anambra, and others have been working with the National Emergency Management Agency and other stakeholders to rescue people who are involved in boat mishap. We have been able to rescue a number of them. We are constantly on the watch out. We have our squad, the emergency first aid teams located in all the 37 branches, that is 36 states and Abuja. We have recently equipped them with life jackets. As I speak, another round of distribution of life jackets and personal protective equipment are ongoing to our various branches. What we do is actually to look at how we can help the situation in our own way. We want to say that there are things that are paramount when you run boats, especially those who do it on a commercial basis. One, we feel all passengers must wear life jackets, and they should wear this properly. Where possible, personal flotation devices and throwable flotation devices should be available on board.
And with climate change causing heavier rains and swollen rivers, the risks are only rising. So What do you think? Share your thoughts on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. Your engagement is crucial in our mission to raise awareness about this issue. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.